Father God, we just come to you today, Lord, thanking you for your grace, your amazing grace that you give each one of us. Lord, I just want to thank you for answered prayers. Lord, even though sometimes the prayers that we pray aren't really what we want to, but we know we have to, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you lift up the Howard and the Owens family today, Lord, and tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you bring them comfort, peace, and the grace that you have used to sustain them. Lord, just be with us as we go throughout our day, Lord. Just be with Jordan as he brings the message today. Lord, let our hearts be opened, our ears be opened, and let us receive the lesson that you need us to learn today. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 2, we'll talk about a topic today that Brother Jimmy threatened me to be careful with what I say, because he almost threatened to come preach anyways when he heard what I was preaching on. But we're going to talk about a harlot's faith. And he asked me what I was preaching on, and I said, Rahab. And I had to explain it to him a little bit what I was talking about, because he got a little worried by the word harlot, but that's exactly what Rahab was. Give a little background about what do we know about Rahab. Well, she lived in Jericho, and she has a very prominent story in Joshua. She hid two of his spies that he had sent into the promised land when they got there to see what was going on. And we also know that when the walls of Jericho fell, her family was the only one that was saved in the entire town. But the biggest thing about Rahab is that the Bible calls her a harlot or a prostitute. See, and one thing about Rahab is that her profession, studying this over the years with the seminary classes I've taken over the Old Testament and studying this message, you'd be surprised on how many preachers are embarrassed to talk about Rahab because of what her profession was. They're embarrassed because the spies that went from God's people, from Israel, went to a prostitute. Some pastors or preachers or even people that teach on this just call her an innkeeper. That may be true. She may have ran an inn. She may have ran a brothel. I don't know. But that's not what the Bible calls her. If you're embarrassed about what the Bible says about people, you need to get over that. Because that's the same kind of people that we are today. We're the ones that we all have a past that we're embarrassed by. I know I do. And if we all could think about it, there's something in our past we're not proud of. And I'm pretty sure this is one thing she's not proud of. But it's who we are. It's what makes us who we are today. But with that being said, she also has some of the biggest faith throughout the Bible. Not because she was a prostitute. Not because she was from Jericho. But because of who she put that faith in. Starting in verse 8 of chapter 2. It says, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, then we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you today, and I just thank you for another chance to share your word, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you just let your message flow, your words be spoken and heard. I don't want to add nothing to it. I don't want to take nothing away, but just let your message flow, Lord. In your son's name I pray. Amen. As it starts off in the first set of verses, she has a surprising outburst of faith right off the get-go. She automatically announces that she's heard of God and she believes that he's true. See, God had a plan in bringing Rahab and the spies together. So we don't always get and understand what God's plan is. See, there's some things that go on in our lives where we meet people we never thought we'd meet. We go through some things that we never thought we'd ever go through. But they all have a plan. The Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So don't think that God doesn't have a plan. I mean, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God always has a plan in mind. He's always about 500 steps ahead of us. And we can't see that far because we can barely, I know I can't because I have to look down at my 2 feet or I'll fall down the stairs. But he has a plan for everything. Anybody that believes in God and has a proof and declaration of that faith can see that. We don't have to be strong or perfect, but the faith that we put in God has to be genuine. See, the reputation of the Israelites had gotten to Jericho before they did. They had heard about God parting the Red Sea so they could walk on dry land and then taking out the Egyptian pursuers after that. They had heard about them taking out all of these kings and kingdoms that were already in the promised land as they got there and completely wiping them out. And Jericho was scared. The city of Jericho was terrified. And Rahab decided that these people must serve the one true God. So she decided to put her faith into him. See, she knew who God was, and she knew who she was. And she trusted God with her very life. By taking these two spies in and hiding them. She hid them in basically the building materials of her house on her roof. So when the guards come in looking for them, they knew they were in the city, they couldn't find them. See, she may have been a prostitute and a liar, but she lied to the guards that she didn't know where they were at. But God still used her anyways. And then she desired to not only save herself, but she turned around and desired to save her family as well. Makes me think of a loving mother, daughter, niece, sister, aunt, grandmother, daughter-in-law, or even a mother-in-law. She was concerned about her family, not just herself. See, that's why if, you know, I tell people growing up I was a druggie growing up because my mama drugged me to church anytime the doors were open. See, my mama cared for my soul enough to make sure I was in church to learn about God. And Rahab was the same way. She showed the length she was willing to go to get to save her family. Her love was just as important as her faith because she wanted assurance that she was going to be taken care of. She asked for an oath, a promise, a guarantee that I'm going to, not only am I going to get saved, but I want you to spare my family as well. I want to serve God, and I want to make sure that my family knows the same salvation that I was given. She wanted a guarantee. She was willing to leave her sinful life and her culture to follow God. Because she had seen and heard what He can do. And she decided, I'm putting my faith in that. Not the gods of my town. Not the government. Not the people that are ruling. Not the church. Not the preacher. But the God that done all this for these people. And in the next set of verses, we actually see the assurance she was given. The spies tell her that if she doesn't tell anybody about what happened, then the promise will be fulfilled. She's got to follow God and not tell nobody what she done for God. See, and you want to say, well, why is that? Well, Jesus done the same thing. There were some people that Jesus said, don't say what's going on, what happened. And we think, why wouldn't we want God to know that? Sometimes God tells us to be quiet for our own good. Because there are certain people that, at least back then, that hear about God and get mad and do things that they shouldn't do. And if you think about it, that still happens today because we still have countries that Christianity is outlawed by penalty of death. So don't think that just because we're in America that doesn't happen today. You know, I've been seeing these videos of these godly men and preachers getting online saying that, do you realize that Christianity is the only religion that is mocked openly? Especially in Hollywood. People don't mock and make fun of things unless they're scared of it. They don't make fun of Buddhism. They don't make fun of Islam. They don't make fun of any of these other religions. But they'll make fun of Christianity in a drop of a hat. Because they're scared of it. Because Satan is the ruler of this world right now until Jesus comes back. And he's scared of the truth. Well, the spies tell her that if you keep our business and don't tell nobody else and hang this red scarlet cord out of your window, whoever is in your house when we come here will be saved. So whoever you want not to perish, bring into your household. Your mother, your father, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, best friends, whatever. Whoever is in your house when we come, we won't touch as long as this red cord is hanging out of your window. Now, whoever comes out of your house, that's on them. But if any of our people lay a hand on any of your people in that house, we will suffer consequences. Scarlet. Red. Sound familiar? Passover. Blood was put on the doorsteps. Red. We're washed in the blood. Red makes us white as snow, makes us pure to God. And that's exactly what was going on here. She was given a cord the same color of the blood of Christ to show that she is paid for. The blood that saved us was a symbol for saving her. And you want to know what she done? Why I say she has some of the biggest faith in the entire Bible, at least in my opinion. As soon as they left, she hung the cord. We all know the story. Well, most of us should know the story of the Battle of Jericho. It really wasn't a battle. They marched around the city 7 days, blowing trumpets, hooping and hollering, having a big old parade. And on the seventh day, they done it 7 times. And then the walls fell. It's not really much of a battle there. She didn't wait for them to come back. And saw the Israelite army. Oh yeah, I need to go hang this out my window for us and get everybody there. No, as soon as they left, after telling them what to do to go hide after they left to make sure they weren't followed, as soon as they left, she hung it. She immediately put her faith to work. She had faith and trust in the ones who made that promise. See, Joshua became a savior for Rahab, but a judge for the rest of Jericho. Just as Jesus is a savior for those who trust him and a judge for those who don't. Rahab found her destiny with the Israelites. She goes on to marry one of them. You know how I know that? Because she's in the line of David. She's one of the only 4 women that are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. What a reward for her faith. She chose to go against what her culture said to follow Christ, to follow God. To put her faith in something that she didn't know nothing about except by reputation alone. When I was a youth pastor at Thornton, I used to tell the boys that you may be the only Bible that somebody reads. There are so many people in this world that never open this book whatsoever. Have never opened it once, have never read a word, may know a couple of verses because they're all over the place. Tim Tebow won when he went to Florida and took Florida to the national championship, he had John 3:16 underneath his eye black. That night, that was the most Googled thing of the night. And the next couple of days was John 3:16. His faith is the reason he does not have an NFL career anymore. Because the NFL did not like the publicity that he was getting because of his Christianity. And he never faltered. We may be some of the only ways that people learn about God in our life. Whether it be our coworkers, our friends at school, strangers on the street, we may be the only gospel they ever see. And so not only did I follow up with, when I followed that up with, I said, give your testimony daily, and if you have to, use words. First time I said it, I got some strange looks from them boys. I said, let me explain. Live a life daily that nobody has to question whether or not you're a Christian. Nobody has to question, do you follow Christ? I asked them, I said, think about this. If I were to go and ask your best friend at school, is so-and-so a Christian, would they have to think about it? Would they tell me, oh yeah, I know for a fact he's saved. I know that he follows God. Or would they tell me, no way. Nah, not with what he does. Not with what she's doing all the time. There's no way that they follow Christ. At this point in time, the Israelites were doing just that. We're following God. I mean, you read the Bible long enough, you'll see the ups and downs on when they do and when they don't. But this was happening a time that they were following Christ. People knew what God was doing for them. Rahab saw it. Rahab heard about it. And Rahab said, I want that too. We can have that same type of faith by putting our trust in God to show everyone else what we have that they're missing. A peace that passes all understanding. Some of you today have gone through what Miss Crystal's going through right now. I have not, but I know the day is coming. For those that haven't been there, you're never fully prepared for it. Just ask those that have. Nothing prepares for you for losing a loved one, whether it be a father, a mother, a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, or whatever. When you lose someone close to you and that means a lot to you, you're never prepared for it. No matter how far you seen it coming or not. However, we serve a God that says, give me your burdens and I'll carry you through it. Those that don't follow God don't have that. It irritates me. I am not a morning person whatsoever. And it really irritates me a lot of the times when I stop by and get a drink early in the morning at the Sonic or something, and them little girls at the car hops come out there and they're all bubbly and smiling. It's like it is too early to be that happy. But think about it. That's how we should be as Christians. I'm not saying not to be sad and not to grieve, because that's not healthy. But we should have a joy that's unexplainable to those. Like, you're going through this thing. How do you have the strength to smile and laugh when you're going through this dark time? Because I serve a God that picks me up when I can't walk. It's like the story of the footprints in the sand. You look back through that storm and you ask God, why is there only one set of footprints through that storm? And God says, because those are mine. Because I carried you through it. That is what Rahab wanted. Is the God that was going to save her through the most tremendous time in her life. She knew what was coming. She knew that her city was going to fall. And she wanted salvation from that. So she decided to put her trust in the one and only God that she knew was going to do that. So I ask you, what if we had a harlot's faith? What if you had the faith of a harlot? The faith of a prostitute? To put your trust in God, knowing you're about to go through the most tremendous part of your life ever. And still be concerned with others, not just yourself. Do you have the faith that's anywhere close to that? I'm standing up here behind this pulpit, and I can tell you I don't know if I have that kind of faith. I looked more like the kind of faith that Peter had. Just a little bit, just enough to get out of the boat, but not enough faith to keep my eyes on Jesus the whole time I'm walking on the water. And I can say that from experience, because I have sunk more times than I've ever wanted to. See, God had a plan and a purpose for Rahab despite her past. See, and some of us are tied down by our past, and that's what limits our faith. Because we look at it and say, God can't use me because of what I've done. And that's far beyond the truth. That's one of the biggest lies that Satan will ever tell you. God used a prostitute. God has used an adulterer and a murderer. Liars, cheaters. Some of the most prominent people that we look up as heroes of the Bible. Half of them, if we let our past disqualify us, wouldn't be qualified. Jacob, Israel himself, isn't qualified because of his past. Thank God that God doesn't call the qualified, and He qualifies the called. See, all it took with Rahab was her faith and the actions she did to put her faith to work. Her faith is what saved her. Because she made the statement that I know that your God can save me, and I won't. Her actions is what brought others to God. Nothing you can do will save you except putting your faith in Jesus. That's what saves you. But your actions, by putting your faith to work, will bring others to Christ. That's exactly what Rahab did. She put her faith to work and brought others to know God and save them. So what do you think you can accomplish if you act out your faith? Even if you had just a little bit of faith like Peter did, to walk on the water and then get distracted and start sinking. See, the Bible says that the faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. I don't know if you've ever seen the size of a mustard seed, but it's pretty small. It's not that big at all. And that amount of faith can move a mountain. So how much faith, what can you do with the little amount of faith that you have? More than what you ever think. As long as we put it to work. So in closing, I'm going to ask you again, do you have the faith of a harlot? Do you have the courage to put that faith to work? Because to be perfectly honest, all it takes to act your faith out, it starts with putting one foot in front of the other and stepping out. So I ask you, church, put whatever little faith you have to work and see the blessings that come from it.